start with prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity right now to be able to delve into your word again. Give us grace and peace and just convict our hearts, Lord, where we need conviction. Encourage the hearts that need encouragement. Thank you so much for who you are, that you are all wise and all powerful and all good. Thank you that you tell us in your word how we can know you through Jesus Christ. Thank you that you tell us how we can live. And so, Lord, help us to set aside all the distractions and even the full tummies that we have from a wonderful lunch, and help us to be able to focus on the topic that you've brought us here together to look over today. And it's because of Jesus we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I was talking about toddlers. That must be where tummy came from. We were just having a conversation. How has your day been so far? Yes, it's been fantastic, hasn't it? Just to be able to come together and focus on this amazing proverb. Beverly and I were just talking how no matter how much time we spend, there's more. There's so much. And so I would encourage you, even after today, don't set this aside. You go home, you study, you really pursue the truths and even more that's in this amazing chapter. Our topic, proverbial portfolio, how the fear of the Lord transforms your daily choices. Maybe you've been a little overwhelmed as you look at the Proverbs 31 woman. And maybe you came to this session right now because it was the only session that met your needs. Or maybe you walked in saying, you know what? This isn't a real weakness in my life, but I can get some other tips. Or maybe you saw it and thought, I haven't a clue about managing my time and resources, so I want to learn. Whatever brought you in here, you need to know that my purpose today is to give you a scriptural framework for which you can look that you can look at in managing your time and your responsibilities. As Beverly mentioned, there have been several times in my life where I have been completely incapacitated and not able to do my own chores and tasks. And it's been during those times that I have come face to face with how in the world am I supposed to manage limited time, limited energies in order to be able to accomplish what God has given me to do. And so it's often a passion of my life to look at every day and say, how am I supposed to live this day for God's glory? My whole life, I've been focused on time and been fascinated by it, actually. As a young adult, my mother died, and then a few years later, my father. I've also faced cancer. I had cancer a few years ago. So many opportunities throughout my life to see how short life is. And that's not a depressing thought. It should be a thought that encourages us and challenges us to use the days that we do have to the glory of God for his purposes. I am not a time management expert, just so you know. I'm not here to tell you, hey, I've got this whole thing nailed. Here's how you need to do it. I'm not here to give you a schedule or a method or a foolproof notebook that you take home and now you've got it. Or even simply a list of time management tips, although we will have some of those. But a scriptural framework that each of us can take and measure our lives against and strive to live in the way that God would have us to live. So we're going to be dealing with managing our time and responsibilities. And I'd like for you to look at this quote as we get started. After making a generous allowance of 8 hours a day for sleep and rest, and few really need more than that, 3 hours a day for meals and social intercourse, 10 hours a day for work and travel on 5 days, there still remain no fewer than 35 hours unaccounted for in each week. What happens to them? How are the extra 2 days in the week invested? The whole of man's contribution to the kingdom of God might well turn about how those crucial hours are employed. They will determine whether his life will be commonplace or extraordinary. As we get started, I want to share with you some overarching concepts, key concepts about time. And I first wrote these down a few years ago when my oldest, Lauren, was finishing up high school and moving into her college years. And here's what we went over together. Every moment of every day belongs to God. We're here to live for His glory and to live out His priorities. Time is a resource given by God. It can be spent, invested, or wasted. Everyone is given the same amount of time each day, but not the same number of days. Our God-given responsibilities should determine our schedule and our use of time. The ways we spend our time and structure our days determine the life that we have. Because we live our lives one moment, one choice at a time. Life is short and uncertain, so do the important things first. Or how have you heard that quoted? Life is short and uncertain, so... Oh, come on. So, eat dessert first. Yeah, right? Life rarely goes according to our plan, but it always goes according to God's plan. With those in mind, either open your Bible to Proverbs 31, or if you have this great sheet that was in your portfolio that Beverly referenced, you can keep that out just to kind of have a look at it as we go through this. Our verse for today is verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. But we need to remind ourselves of who we're talking about, okay? Beverly gave us a good overview. But this is the excellent wife, the worthy woman, the valiant. Don't you like that word? The valiant woman. This is the kind of woman that God says, be like this. She's a model. She's an example. All these qualities, though, you need to remember, these qualities are not just limited to this proverb, are they? They're throughout Scripture. The qualities that we see praised in Proverbs 31, you will notice all throughout Scripture, and therefore every person and every woman. It's interesting as you look at this, because it's easy to think, well, yeah, this wasn't a real person. But I find it interesting, and we commented on this in the first session, Ruth emulates a lot of these qualities. And in fact, I love the MacArthur Study Bible note in the book of Ruth where it compares the qualities in the Proverbs 31 woman with the actual person of Ruth. She fulfilled so many of these qualities. So don't take too much comfort from the fact that this wasn't a real person, okay? Because these are qualities that by God's grace, He can develop in us. The key is the fear of the Lord, right? And the fear of the Lord isn't just another quality to tack on, but rather it should be the overarching focus of our lives, that reverence for God. Caring what God thinks about everything. And in fact, one definition is the fear of the Lord is a state of mind in which one's own attitudes, will, feelings, deeds, and goals are exchanged for God's. So do you hear what that's saying? When we fear the Lord, when we revere Him, when we esteem Him, then we want to follow in every way what He tells us we're supposed to do, what He says we're supposed to be like, how we're supposed to spend our time, the kind of person that we're supposed to be. We exchange all of those things, our attitudes, our desires, our thoughts, for His. And where do we find that? Right, this is interactive. Where do we find that? In the Scripture. We don't have to sit around and go, I wonder what I'm supposed to be like. I wonder what I'm supposed to do. We don't have to do that. We have to say, I wonder what God says. Let's look and find out what God says. So this passage lays out a model for every Christian woman. This is not limited to age or marital status. Okay, we have today middle school, high school, young adults, young marrieds, singles, widows, married with children. We've got it all in this group. This passage speaks to every person in this room. These qualities are for every Christian woman. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This is a summary statement. Remember when we read this together this morning? We read all of those amazing activities that she's involved with. This statement in verse 27 summarizes all of that and says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. We could say it this way. The woman who fears the Lord is committed to the responsibilities God has given her. So we find five commitments. In managing our time and responsibilities as women who fear the Lord, we must commit ourselves in five ways. And I'm going to give them to you. They're going to be up on the slides, so don't worry if you don't get them all down right now. But we must commit ourselves to being intentional, analytical, excellent, focused, and diligent. So our first commitment, commit yourself to being intentional. So look at this word. She looks to the ways. It shows that she looks ahead. You don't get the feeling, do you, that this lady wakes up and goes, I wonder what I feel like doing today. Do you get that feeling? No, she is looking. She is intentional. She thinks ahead. She looks for wool and flax. She's like a merchant ship. She gives food. She has to have the food to give it, doesn't she? She gives portions, the tasks. She knows what needs to be done. She gives to the poor. She considers a field. She strengthens her body. This is a woman who is forward-thinking. She is intentional. She purposefully looks for ways to manage her responsibilities for the good of the people God has given to her. She watches vigilantly over. So in order to be like her, you must commit yourself to being intentional. And then also, our second is commit yourself to being analytical. Now, these are not airtight categories, so you're going to see some overlap. But the focus that we're going in this point is she looks to the ways of her household. The ways, the doings, the affairs, the habits, the patterns. She studies those. So she's intentional and she's analyzing those. She's analytical. This step requires a deeper thought, a deeper study. She looks, she searches, she knows, she considers a field. Consider means to think carefully about something before making a decision. She plans ahead to meet the needs of the people in her care. She anticipates, she problem solves, she plans. She's not afraid of the snow because all of her kids have warm jackets. It's that concept where she's thought ahead. She's analyzed the needs, and she knows what needs to be done. She's not constantly reacting. She considers the patterns of the people and the tasks she's involved with. It's contrasted with a proverb like Proverbs 19:2, the one who hurries his footstep errs. Or Proverbs 21:5, the one who plans comes to advantage, but the one that is hasty comes surely to poverty. One commentator put it this way, connecting it with a verse ahead of it that talks about her teaching. It says she keeps a sharp lookout over the affairs of her household, promptly to right any irregularities and to maintain its orderly arrangement. In order to be like her, we must commit ourselves to being intentional and analytical. And then thirdly, missed one, sorry. We must commit ourselves, see, it's having fun with me, I'm learning. We'll get to this point because it's funny, you're going to laugh at what this point is. Excellent. And I'm skipping it here. See, I'm learning how to do a PowerPoint. There we go. Did it show up? No. There it is. You see, isn't that funny? I'm learning how to do a PowerPoint, and I have not gotten to the point of excellence with this. But commit yourself to being excellent. She looks well to the ways of her household. I intentionally left out this little word before, because this is how she does it. The words to describe her are excellent words. Excellent, noble, valiant. Her clothing is fine linen. She senses that her gain is good. She earns money from her investments. She exercises to be strong. Her gain is good. Even her words are excellent words, aren't they? What kind of words does she have? Tell me. Kindness, wisdom. Those are excellent words. She even thinks precisely of what she's supposed to say, when and how she's supposed to say it. So she is clothed with strength and dignity. You know, as several of us have talked about this recently, this is not a weak wallflower woman. She is strong, and she does things with excellence and dignity and strength. You don't see this woman glorying in her brokenness. That's kind of a common theme that you sometimes see is, yeah, hashtag life is messy, hashtag, you know, picture, post, my life's a disaster, and I'm kind of proud of it. You don't see that in Proverbs 31. This is a woman, sure, life is messy. Things do get broken, but she is challenging herself to do things with excellence. She's clothed with strength and dignity. And you see that in you excel them all, another excellent word. I always think of my mentor, Mary Barshaw, and I've shared this one with some of you in the past. My mentor, after her husband died, I had lunch with her one day, and she goes, you know, Sheila, when I got married, I determined to be the best mother I could be, the best wife I could be. When I had children, I determined to be the best mother I can be. And now that Freddie's gone, I've determined to be the best widow I can be. That's a commitment to excellence in whatever circumstance God has you. Commit yourself to being excellent. Commit yourself to being focused. She looks well to the ways of her household. She's focused on her responsibilities. Her household, her dwelling, her house, her family. It's the people in her life and the responsibilities that come with those people. We see that in Titus 2, don't we? That scripture says that a married woman is to love her husband. If she has children, it's to love her children. It's to be devoted, be sensible, be pure, workers at home. God gives for every stage, what our focus is supposed to be, and it's supposed to be on our responsibilities. They are supposed to, the people that God has given you and the responsibilities he's given you are the foremost priorities of your life. It's the scope, the sphere of what he's called you to do. This, again, is not just for married women with children. This is whether you're a student, an employer, in minister, or employee, whatever the roles that God has called you to, that is, in essence, your household. And we're all called to fulfill that in our own homes. Ages and stages. We've got every age and stage in this room. God is calling you to be focused on your responsibilities. And in fact, she's focused, look, it says, on her household. These are unique to her. Responsibilities are those things given by God for us to obey, and we cannot pass them on to anyone else to obey. I like that definition. Those things given by God for us to obey, and we cannot pass them on to anyone else to obey for us. Who is she focused on? You tell me. Shout out some of the people that she's focused on. The needy. Her husband. Her children. What was another one? Absolutely. That would be clearly what her parents. She needs to focus on that. Okay, good. All the activities. But you see, even just the people, there are so many people that she is focused on. But those are the ones God has given her. These are God-given, not self-imposed. In our culture, busyness is a virtue, isn't it? I'm so busy. I mean, I fall into that. Several of you have heard me this. I'm so busy. I'm so Max. But we think that it's being busy that is a noble thing. But is this woman just busy? What is she busy doing? She's busy meeting the needs of the people and the responsibilities that God has given her. It's not necessarily more, but what and how, and doing it better. Time is limited. We choose how we spend it. Energy is limited. We choose how we spend it. Let me ask you, What is your household? I want you to think right here in your own mind. What has God called you to? Who are the people and what are the responsibilities that entail? Your responsibilities. What is your household? A warning here. Seeing a need does not necessarily mean that it is a call for you to meet that need. Okay? Just seeing a need or an opportunity does not mean that it is a need or an opportunity God is calling you to meet. You and I have to prayerfully seek God's wisdom and often the wisdom of others to even know what our God-given responsibilities are, don't we? Those of you that are married, who is your chief advisor in this area? Who should be your chief advisor in this area? Your husband. Those of you who are not, there are other godly women in your life, godly mentors that can help you evaluate this. Ask them. Ask them, where do you see that I am off track? Am I meeting my responsibilities? Can I take on more? For some of us, that's going to be a challenge to take on more. For some, it will be to rein back and to give the chief focus to those areas that God has given you alone to meet. She has a balance, doesn't she? You can see in this Proverbs 31 woman, she not only looks out for her own needs, but also the needs of others. But it's clear that she treated her family best. And you know how I know that? If she were running around meeting every need outside of her family, then I don't think at the end of the chapter that her husband and her children would be praising her. But she puts the needs of her household, of her primary relationships, first and foremost. And don't you get the feeling that she uses her moments well? This is a woman who uses her time, each moment, well to fulfill the responsibilities God has given her. What you choose to do with your discretionary time determines the person you will be and the life you will live. There's a final commitment we must make. Commit yourself to being not only focused, but commit yourself to being diligent. And does not eat the bread of idleness. Does not eat is a negative match of she watches over. She looks to the ways of her household. Let me give you a definition of idleness that rocked my world a few years ago. How's that for an introduction? You ready? Idleness means eyes looking everywhere. What do we tend to think idleness is? Doing nothing. This word means eyes looking everywhere. There are so many distractions, aren't there? We tend to think this is a modern temptation, but clearly it isn't. Listen to this. In 2 Thessalonians, it says, we hear that some among you are leading undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now, such persons we command and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread. They learn to be idle gossips, busybodies. We're often tempted to think that idleness is, you got it right, doing nothing. But Scripture says it's busy. Idleness is busy doing the wrong things. Busy doing the wrong things. Busybodies, gossips. The bread of idleness means the wages of idleness. She doesn't have the wages of an idle lifestyle, a distracted, pouring herself into everybody else's business instead of her own. What is a modern temptation to this? Technology is not the problem, because clearly this was a problem way back before Facebook, Pinterest, whatever, pick your social media. But it is a temptation, isn't it? Think of how much time is consumed by keeping up with your 636 friends' posts daily. By spending that, I'm just going to spend 5 minutes on Pinterest. Because what happens? Oh my word, it's been 2 hours? We don't even know it. And we're not doing nothing. We're busy. But are we busy with what God has called us to do? Huge temptation to spend our time with our eyes looking everywhere and not focused on what God has given us to do. So honestly examine your own heart. Maybe that's not your temptation. You fill in the blank for what your temptations are as far as where your eyes want to look, where you want to spend your time and energies that isn't what God has set out for you as his priorities for your life. But this woman is diligent. I put a verse over my desk at the Master's College because anywhere you are, it's tempting to get into everybody else's business, isn't it? We didn't need Facebook for that. I put on my desk at the college, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you. Mind your own business and work with your hands. Get busy doing what you're supposed to do. This woman works hard. We have seen, oh my word, this is a hard-working woman. It reminds me of Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for man. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Romans 12:11. Not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. By the way, Smedley Yates' book, Wait, that a number of you are doing in Titus 2, has a phenomenal section on the theology of hard work. Very good. Excellent. Now, notice, it doesn't say she has a perfect home, she gets all of her to-dos done, she's perfectly in shape, keeps up with everyone, and is productive all the time, thankfully. I believe she still took time for proper refreshment. And you know how I know that? Because if she didn't, she would not be able to be who she needed to be for others. If you wanted an example of that, and I've got a daughter in this session, she knows that all you had to do is come to my house on Wednesday, last Wednesday, and you would have seen a prime example of not taking proper refreshment in order to be what I needed to be for my family. We can get so caught up in work that then we forget to take the time, not for me time. I'm not espousing me time, but there is a sense of proper self-care in order to be able to be who we need to be and do what we need to do for others that are in our lives. So it doesn't say she has all of this nailed all the time, but it, and by the way, she doesn't do everything every day. Okay, this chapter is a scope of her life, not one day. Remember, she does work hard. It does say she works hard. Oh, and notice what her attitude is while she's working hard. She works with her hands in delight, willingly. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth with wisdom, the teaching of kindness. This is not a frantic, anxious, barking woman. Okay? She is kind. She is smiling. She cares about the people that God has given her. The tasks are for the people. Okay, let's take some of the common tasks that we're involved with and put an eternal perspective on it. You're not just doing laundry. You are getting clean clothes for the people in your world. You're not just doing meals. You're providing food for people. Students, you're not just doing your schoolwork to get it done, believe it or not. You are doing schoolwork and studying so that you can improve your skills so that you can be more helpful to the people in the tasks God has given you in the future. In a job, you're not just getting a project done. You are providing a good or service for people. She also knows how to delegate. So she's not doing all of this all the time all herself. And that's a whole nother thought. But we must commit ourselves to being intentional, analytical, excellent, focused, and diligent. How are we supposed to do this? How are we supposed to get these qualities? How are we supposed to fill this out? We're going to go over some practical steps. Now, I've intentionally separated my lesson this way. And here's why, and I want you really to get this point. We need to keep it in mind what is truly scriptural and separate that from what may be practical and helpful. Here's why. It is so easy for us to start well and then get so caught up in the system or the method or the tip that we lose sight of the bigger focus, or we start comparing ourselves to other people. We do need to borrow brains. We do need to look to others for helpful ways of fulfilling our responsibilities. But how you structure your day, you get to choose, okay? You don't have to do it anybody else's way. And that's an easy temptation, isn't it? To compare ourselves or be discouraged because we don't do it like somebody else. But you're supposed to be, I am supposed to be these things, but each of us gets to choose before the Lord how we fulfill these aspects. Because we're not all intended to be the same. Keep what the Bible says clearly separated. But here are some practical steps to managing our time and responsibilities. Number one, depend on the Lord as you face your responsibilities. I put this one first. God really hammered in my heart over the last few weeks that dependence on the Lord, you start with it, you move forward with it, and you end with it. We never get over this step. This isn't one you check off your list and move on. Seek His wisdom, His priorities. Seek them where? Yes, in Scripture. Look to His word for that. The fear of the Lord, that reverence undergirds it all. So here's an action for your first step. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Our second practical step. Determine your God-given responsibilities. We have to know what God is calling us to do before we can figure out how to do it. Remind yourself of your ultimate goals. Your ultimate goals, love God, love others. And remember, loving others is doing good deeds, doing good works. Everywhere in Scripture, you see that the love of God leads to a love of people. That love of people shows by doing good deeds to others. All that we do is for God and others. It's so easy to put our schedule, our tasks, ourselves first, but it's all for God and others. Determine prayerfully what God has called you to do. Study, meditate, review key passages of Scripture. Are you married? Do you have children? Are you a student? Are you a full-time worker? What are the responsibilities that God has called you, your specific calling? The world around us screams at us to give our times to everything else. What are some of the things that around us that tell us that we should spend our times on? Shout some out.
Volunteer.
What's that?
Volunteer.
Yes, volunteer work. What else?
Environment.
The environment. Okay, what about yourself? I mean, that's like a noble thing. Possessions, fitness, beauty, success, comfort, so many things that we are told we should spend our, and not all of them are evil in and of themselves, but what are our passion should be to serve God and people first. What has God called you to do? God has established priorities in relationships. All of our responsibilities are not equal. He has given us priorities. What are the primary, who are the primary people that God has called you to serve? What are the primary responsibilities God has called you to do? Work, school, being a daughter, or an aunt, or a church member, a citizen. God calls us all to establish those priorities of our relationships. So an action for this one, write down the main purposes in your life and the main categories or roles of your God-given responsibilities. Thirdly, analyze your responsibilities. Now I listed this separate because determine was just saying, okay, these are my responsibilities. Now you're gonna dig deeper and you're gonna study those. This takes deliberation. Time, effort. You must carefully study what your goals and tasks in each of these areas needs to be. They're not all equal. Scripture says things like this. Wives are to be primarily focused on their husbands and be busy at home. Mothers are to love their children. We are to do good to all men, but especially those that are Christians, especially those of the household of faith. We're to not only look out for our own interests, but also the interests of others. Now, how do you know if you can take on more? We touched on this briefly before. Seek the counsel of the godly people and the authorities in your life, and they can help you to determine if you can take on more. But we need to constantly be reassessing, and we'll get to that point also. Actions. Write down the particular goals and actions needed in each area of your responsibilities. Here's just a sample chart. Take it or leave it. If it helps you, great. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. But look on this far column. This is where you'd write your roles and relationships. Mine would look something like this. God, Tom, Jessica, Katie, Lauren, extended family, church family. You see what I'm saying? Those big areas would go in the right, the left column, the far left column. You'd write down those roles and goals and the actions that you would need, the tasks. This is just a way to help you analyze what God is calling you to do. So practical steps, that would be the analyzing your responsibilities. Then you need to, 4, evaluate the circumstances of your responsibility. Now here's the difference. What I want you to do in this step is to really analyze, to know what your strengths and your abilities are and what your limits are. I have health limits at times in my life where my body, I don't know which body's going to show up. I don't know if it's going to show up for work that day. And that is a limitation that I have to constantly evaluate. I was sharing in the first session that it feels like a few years ago I was driving up and down 26. Those of you who drive that route, it's been under construction for a decade? And a few years ago, I was trying to get from point A to point B, and at every point, there was a road closed, right lane closed, left lane closed, detour, and I went, this is my life. This is my life. I can't do a straight course from point A to point B without a detour or a road closure sign. And God helped me during that time to realize, no, that's not the way to look at it. Those are not road closure signs. Your health, your circumstances, those are the guideposts. It's more like when you're in the mountains and it's snowing and you've got those poles on either side. And that's how you know where the road is, because you've got those guideposts showing you this is the way you're supposed to go. So God has given each of us, maybe for you it's not health, it's finances, or the care of a disabled person, or someone else who's in your care, or other limitations that God uses to show you how you're supposed to use your time, how you're supposed to use your energies. Maybe yours is you're in school, and so therefore that requires a large portion of your time, or you have to produce an income. So those are the kinds of things we're talking about. Know how God made you, and also the hardscape of your life. And what I mean by that are there are non-negotiables. There are things that you have to do with your time. You have to sleep. Bummer. You have to eat. Yay. How was that cookie? Wasn't that cookie really good? You have to sleep. You have to eat. Church, your own time in the Lord, work, school, your personal Bible study. There are the hardscape aspects of your life that are required. So here's what I want you to do with this at some point, if this is helpful to you. My kids really hate this chart because I give it to them often. But it actually can be a very valuable tool. This is just a weekly chart. And what you do is you fill in sleep, meals, church, work, all the non-negotiables. And you know what you find? What do you think you would find if you filled this out? You'd find out you've got more time than you think you do. Or you'd find out, you know what? I have to use the time that I do have very intentionally. But this can just be a helpful tool for you to actually see it down on paper and know, because you have to know what your responsibilities are. You have to know the time that you have in order to know how to fulfill the responsibilities that you have. So that's our next step, is structure your time to fulfill your responsibilities. Now it's actually time to schedule the best time to accomplish those specifics. Time is like space. An author was sharing the crammed closet illustration. You know, if you go in and your closet is so crammed with everything, and what happens when you walk in? You have nothing to wear. What do wardrobe planning experts tell us we're supposed to do? Fewer, better pieces that all coordinate with each other, right? Pretty much. So that when you walk in, you go, top, pants, jewelry, shoes, boom, I've got an outfit. Our time can be like that, in the sense that we have winnowed away all the unnecessary stuff, and we know what we're supposed to do, and now we know when we can do it. And so that helps us to structure our time to fulfill those important things. Time is limited. Time, energy is limited. Some of you will really like this quote because you know where it comes from. Tolkien, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. That's all we have to do. Schedule to do the important, not just the urgent. The eternal to-dos. Time with the Lord in His word and prayer. People, those important things we never have time to do, like having that intentional conversation, a letter written, handling our long-term financial plans. The only things that will last into eternity are people and the scripture. Schedule to do the important. Common illustration, many of you heard it. Pretend there's a bucket up here and I've got sand and rocks. What happens if I fill that bucket with sand first and I try to get the rocks in? What's going to happen? Not going to happen. The rocks are going to sit up on top and never get in. What about if I put the rocks in first and then pour the sand in? What's going to happen? The sand's going to come and fill in around, but those rocks are going to be in there. Those rocks are the important things. Do the important things first. Schedule to do those important things. This requires structure and flexibility. It requires a lot of intentionality, a lot of thought, a lot of planning. Along this point, also schedule time off. In our society, with that whole busier's better, but that's not the way God even created the world. We have seasons. Trees go dormant. Bears hibernate. There are seasons. We must schedule to take those. And that's hard to do, okay? It's very hard to do. But we need to schedule also. That is one of those important things that we've got to schedule. Because you know what? Overscheduling leads to failure as much as underscheduling sometimes. So actions for this. Fill in a monthly, yearly, weekly calendar. Continue to fill in your chart. 6, study how to excel in your responsibilities. Read, study, borrow brains, observe how others do it. Look at systems and habits where things just automate themselves. That can work for us so much. Study the primary people in your life. What are their needs? How can you best care for them? Study better ways to do what you're called to do. Don't be a slave to the system or somebody else's way, but borrow brains to find what you do and do it better. Look into books. I intentionally did not give you book list, and it was because so many of them are so particular that it can put a weight, a load on you that I didn't want to put on you. But feel free, look at some good books, get good recommendations, and then measure those for if that's how God wants you to fulfill your responsibilities. 7, work hard at your responsibilities. Get busy. Do the task at hand. As Elizabeth Elliot taught so many of us, do the next thing. Whatever it is, do the next thing. Pick up that task And instead of saying, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to do anything, or I don't know what to do, so I'm going to distract myself, do the task at hand, do the next thing. Use your moments. I made a list for myself of things that can be accomplished in 5 minutes. And it's amazing how when you get busy doing the next thing, how much you can accomplish. Jessica mentioned this week, listening to scripture while she got ready. That is such a good use of your time. Cards that can remind you of the verse memory, the memorization you're using. Use your moments, but get busy doing what you need to be doing. So your action, get busy with the task at hand. Write a list of things you can do in 5 minutes or less. 8, keep focused on your responsibilities. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Not every moment will have a specific schedule or assigned task, but make your big scheduling decisions and your moment-by-moment decisions based on those God-given priorities. We need great wisdom, don't we, to know what is a true need from what is a distraction. And someone had asked me to share this. I'll give you just an illustration. Being in ministry, this is where I live every day, and it's a wonderful joy and delight. But there are often so many needs that every day I have to determine, is this a need that needs my attention today, or is this something that can be scheduled in the future? And you have the same kinds of choices. For instance, a friend in crisis may be a true need or it may be a distraction. How do you make that differentiation? Is this something that has to be done today? Or is this something that has been building for 15 years and she just happens to be pretty emotional about it and you can schedule a time to meet that need at a time that helps you fulfill your responsibilities? Does that make sense? Just knowing that not every need is a true crisis that needs to be dealt with now. Always needs to be handled with grace and compassion, but not necessarily at this moment. Actions for this, ways to implement. Come up with ways for you to keep you focused where you can get back on track with what your responsibilities are. 9, enjoy fulfilling your responsibilities. She works with delight. She's busy and kind. Do what you do with joy and thankfulness. The action for this, develop a habit of giving thanks as you fulfill your responsibilities. 10, respond properly to divine redirection in meeting your responsibilities. So these are interruptions. Man makes his plans, but God directs his step. Our plan A rarely gets done. Does it? Does your plan A? Your plans often come, you get it? No, I don't. Mine often feel like I'm on plan LL. And I have to remind myself all the time that this is God's plan A, even when it feels like my LL. Make moment-by-moment decisions based on your God-given priorities, but get back on track. Every time you get off, respond to his divine direction and those redirection and get back on track. Determine to respond with joy and wisdom when God changes your plans. And then finally, reevaluate your responsibilities and time often. Schedule into your life times where you reevaluate these things. Perhaps it's around an anniversary or a birthday. It's helpful to do this yearly, monthly, weekly, daily. You're saying, that's a lot of evaluation. Yes, and that's the only way that we can constantly be getting back on track for how we're supposed to fulfill the responsibilities God has given us. I go through a list. Again, mine looks something like God, husband, children. If I had grandchildren, they'd be on there. Extended family, church family, neighbors, community, self-care. Or you could do it like my freshman orientation teacher always said. He said, just measure your life consistently in 4 areas, spiritually, socially, physically, intellectually. You name the method, but some way where you're looking and saying, how am I doing in the various aspects of my life? The woman who fears the Lord is committed to fulfilling the responsibility God has given her with the time and energy God has given her. Let's contrast doesn't eat the bread of idleness, and let's switch it around. She does eat the bread of her focused diligence. She gets the benefits. Listen to this. She reaps the rewards. Some of the rewards. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Her gain is good. She has satisfaction in her work. She's not afraid. She's calm in the provisions that she's made. She smiles at the future. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband praises her and says, "You're the best. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hand, the bread, what she's earned, and let her works praise her in the gates." At the end of the day, friends, ask yourself, did I walk in the fear of the Lord? Was I committed to being intentional, analytical, excellent, focused, and diligent? I love this prayer from Valley of Vision. "Oh, what a death it is to strive and labor, to be always in a hurry and yet do nothing. Alas, time flies and I am of little use. Oh, that I could be a flame of fire in thy service, always burning out in one continual blaze." Let's pray. Lord, we have flown through so much information. I just ask that you would work, that what is from you and your word would stick, that you would help each one of us to leave today challenged but also encouraged. Help us to look to your word to figure out how we are to live and how we are to use our time to fulfill the responsibilities that you have given us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.